My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
All right, we are 10 days away from the 2023 NFL draft. I woke up this morning to more mocks, to more mock drafts than I have seen all year long. The frenzy is real. The draft fever is real. Thank you for hanging out with us on another episode of the Character Concerns podcast. I'm Nick Schwartz, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening right now. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, and thank you for listening on Thursday nights. We are broadcasting Character Concerns, the show, on 610 Sports Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Jay, who is this week's guest going to be?
This week's guest is Chiefs reporter, works for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mac McMullen. He and Mitch do a great job breaking down the draft prospects, and he's really involved in the whole. He puts out all the videos and stuff for the Chiefs. So Matt McMullen will be the guest this week. We've had Chad Ryder on a couple weeks ago. We had Thor on this past week talking mock, but we'll get somebody from the Chiefs in his thoughts.
Yeah, Thor just roasted Jalen Hyatt when we had
Thor
him
was
on.
Not a fan
he
of him.
He roasted Jalen Hyatt. We had him on last week.
He was kind of taking a shot at me and you. All three of us, actually.
What do you mean?
We've all had Jalen Hyatt somewhere.
I don't think.
Me with the draft cursor on. You picked him.
No.
He
picked him for the Bills.
He crushed on us. He danced on
Nick
our
picked.
Heads.
Who'd you pick? Was it Felix Anudike?
No,
Uzoma?
I picked Jalen Hyatt as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Thor's not a big guy.
That's a great transition because Jalen Hyatt is a polarizing prospect. And this wide receiver class is, I don't even know if it's polarizing as much as it is just disrespected. And I'm not even saying that the disrespect is unwarranted. I think this is a weaker wide receiver class than we've seen probably in 4 or 5 years. Probably since, what year was the Calvin Ridley year, maybe? 2018, it was like DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley both went in the 20s. And I think that was it for wide receivers.
Fifth rounders will be the stars.
Right. So I want to enter this mock draft, which, by the way, we're doing a mock draft today.
2.5.
This is what I wanted to discuss.
This is 3.
I think it's 3.0.
This is 3.
What do you think? You guys are going by 0.5s.
No,
and all of a sudden,
the point, no.
No, we no. did one Chiefs.
No, 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 no,
one 0.0 was the Chiefs. 1.5 was full NFL. 2.0 was last week when we did the Chiefs. We're on 2.5, but this is the Chiefs.
Are we doing just the Chiefs?
This is just the Chiefs.
then we has to be 3.0.
It has to be 3.0.
You know, it's only a 3.0 sounds better than 2.5, does it?
It's only 2.5.
Just make the damn thing 3.5. It's 3.25.
It's only 2.5 if we do the full first round.
Why don't we do 3.25?
I agree.
Let's bump this bad boy up a little bit.
No, we're not doing that much math. That's too complicated.
I think we can do a 0.5er, but it's got to be when we do a first-round mock again. Maybe we'll do that next week. Yeah. We've got a lot of hours of content next week.
And the reason is because Thursday night when we're broadcasting the draft, we need to be able to look on our sheet.
Yeah.
Which ones we got right, which ones we got it wrong. If we want to enter this greatest mocker competition, if we want to be like the fifth-ranked mockers.
I do. Are we entering it?
No, it's very – I don't know. We should because it's very important, but we need to mock how we think things are going to go out Thursday.
I agree.
That we can follow along with the show.
I think it's a good point. We need to do it just for posterity, just so we have something to look back on.
Peacock a little bit, you know, if it works out.
Yeah,
if it doesn't, forget about it.
So we're going to be broadcasting, by the way, draft week. We're going to be broadcasting live on 610 Sports Radio during round one. Then we are going to be at Cinder Block Brewery for rounds 2 and 3 on Friday. And then we'll be broadcasting again during day 3 of the draft on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Character Concerns going to be live on 610 Sports Radio.
And we'll have all hands on deck Thursday. We'll be checking in with the Dustman on the red carpet and checking in with Cody and Gold.
So please tune in, subscribe wherever you're listening,
Bob.
And it's time for another mock, guys. And I think because this is our fourth one, it's back to where we started, which means I once again have the first overall pick. Now, the first mock draft we did over a month ago, I had the first pick, and I went Jalen Hyatt at pick 31.
Because it was your birthday.
It was my birthday. That's right. March 20th, so you allowed me to have the first overall pick.
And you went with a great pick.
Are we still sticking with no trades?
I think we should stick with no trades.
Are you saying we should stick with it in perpetuity, or will eventually we do one where we can allow trades? It just gets a little dicey. It gets a little dicey because I think what's going to happen is then we're all going to be looking to trade every pick.
Yes, I'm saying it.
And the so trade value in this thing sometimes is all over the place.
I think when we do our 3.5, we should allow trades.
Okay.
Just don't get, like, let's not go out here and pretend like it's Madden and we have to stick to the Rich Hill trade chart.
Thank you for giving him the proper
absolutely have to stick to that.
Okay.
And we got to make sure it makes sense, and then that's what we'll do. We're not going to just invent trades.
That's fine with me. Well, then let's just go ahead and get into it, because I'm actually excited for this one, because I think this mock draft is going to go a little differently than the ones we've done in the past. And just for record's sake, we've done 2 7-round mocks. Jalen Hyatt went first overall in the first one, and then last week, remind me, who did we go?
It was Jalen Hyatt again.
It was Jalen Hyatt again.
The only time he did not go, when he was not available, we did all 31 in mock 1.5. It was Anton Harrison.
I couldn't remember if it was Darnell Wright or Anton Harrison. Okay, so let's go ahead. We're using the PFF mock draft simulator, and let's go ahead and get this thing started and see who is available to us here at pick 31, because I have something on my mind, but I'm going to let the board speak to me. Okay, so just briefly, right before the Chiefs selection, Bijan Robinson went 27, Will McDonald IV went 28th, Adetamiwa Adebare went 29th, and Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame.
Who went 25 to the 30. Giants? Because that's been the talk that they're going to grab a receiver there.
That would be Brian Branch, safety out of Alabama.
Oh, so they didn't.
Okay, so
I mean,
immediately, I have an issue internally. It's a good problem.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem. So, if you guys have listened to this podcast, if you've followed me on Twitter, if you've basically consumed anything that I've ever said about this NFL draft, you will know that number one, not up there, not amongst the top, the number one player on my list of draft crushes this year is the tight end out of Utah, Dalton Kincaid.
And not true, because it was Washington there for a little while.
Yeah, it was initially Darnell Washington.
It was initially. You were all about it.
So that was your first love here.
That was your first love.
You know, but Darnell Washington was like when you go to the bar and you see that just like smoking gorgeous 10 at the end of the bar.
Everybody's looking at her. What happened?
You get a little bit closer and you're like, nose is kind of big.
And then at 2 o'clock hits, the club lights turn on, and you go, okay.
I'm curious, can you go to wide receiver? I just want to see who the top receivers.
Dalton Kincaid is there, and I don't know how.
It's your pick. I know where you're going, but I was just curious.
So receivers
Jalen
available.
Hyatt's still there. Josh
Hyatt,
Downs there.
Yeah, Jalen Hyatt, Josh Downs, Rashee Rice. Okay. I mean, it's kind of weak. So here's the thing. I'm going to take a little bit of time here before I make this pick. The reason why I thought that this draft was going to be a little bit different is because over the past week or so, I have convinced myself more and more that edge rusher is the position for the Chiefs to take in round one. And it's not as much about me being in love with the players at the edge spot, but I do think it's significantly deeper in terms of first and second round prospects than wide receiver is. And if you're telling me I'm going to have to reach for a receiver versus taking an edge rushing prospect that I'm more sold on, why wouldn't I just take the better player at a position that's still a position of need? But I'm looking here at the edge rusher spots, and I'm seeing Felix and Udike Uzama, who I'm very high on. I think that would be a solid choice at pick 31. He's a very popular mock. The other players that are sitting here, Derek Hall, I mean, we took him in the second round in last week's draft.
Foskey's a good choice, but I think more second round with Foskey.
Yeah. Keon White out of Georgia Tech is a popular player that's often mocked to the Chiefs.
You know what? He has really not played edge very often. He finally got a full year under his belt this last year, but he transferred. That's one of the big concerns. And he didn't run at the combine. He ran at his pro day, and he had the hamstring issue.
So,
but Keon White's interesting because a lot of people kind of like him, but there's a ton of people that don't because of the inexperience.
6'5", 285.
But they said he still got a ton of potential.
Because he was a two-star recruit out of high school, went to Old Dominion to play tight end, right?
Coons turned him right out of there, man.
What is with the Old Dominion vibes?
Old Dominion.
They're a factory.
We're gonna have Old Dominion
on this
team.
They're an absolute grind show of a program.
Well, here's my question to you. And I know we're not doing trades in here, but if we did, and you go edge one, are you trading down in the second round possibly to get a pass catcher? If that's the direction, if we allowed trades, would you do that?
I don't think you need to. I don't think you need to because if I took an edge rusher at pick 31, I would feel really confident that at pick 63, one of Cedric Tillman, Jonathan Mingo, Marvin Mims, Rashee Rice would be available to me. And I'm cool with that because I don't think there's as big of a drop-off between whoever you think are the top five wide receivers and those guys as there is once I get past maybe that first tier.
I think 4 through 8 might have more production than 1 through 4. But here's my question, other question to you for the Chiefs. Are you concerned about it? Because I always hear the pushback on wide receivers. Those are the ones who don't want to get wide receivers. Like, oh, Mahomes could take anybody and make him a great receiver. So my counterbalance is, well, the Chiefs' pass rush was actually pretty good. They had 55 sacks, was elevated at 24 sacks more last year than the year before. They found a way to get to the quarterback, using linebackers, using the safety blitz, the nickel blitz with Legarius Sneed. Spags deserves a ton of credit for it because, you know, he basically did to the defense what Mahomes is doing with the offense. Now, both these situations, the edge rush and receivers, still were able to be viable without big-time stars. So I'm curious, do you fall in the same way, or do you look, man, offensive line's kind of what they need here because they've been able to get by with edge rushers and wide receivers? I'm just curious where you come out on that.
I mean, if you're because we're operating in a scenario where the Chiefs aren't trading, right?
Yep.
Give me the best player then. If I know I'm picking at 31, give me the best player. I'm not going to reach on a tackle just because I think it's more of a pressing need.
So is Felix better than Dalton Kincaid?
That's my question that I was going to ask you guys. Is there an argument? What is the argument for taking Felix over Dalton Kincaid?
You're taking him because you feel like you need to have a edge rusher, and you don't need a tight end right now, but you will probably need one soon. So basically, it's like addressing what you feel like is a bigger need for 2023, as opposed to addressing a need for the next like 5+ years or whatever. So like I think that's the reasoning that you would have for taking an edge rusher here. My thing is this: Dalton Kincaid is probably not a guy that we can, if he's there at 31, he fell.
Which, by the way, it's surprising that he's there.
Yeah, so it's very surprising he's there.
Well, more and more people keep talking about the run on tight ends actually in the second round rather than
the
first.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're looking at this situation here and Kincaid is available there at 31, you're getting a guy that, in terms of value, is probably slotted. You know, this is probably similar to the Chiefs getting Trent McDuffie last year. And turned my mic off.
So,
dude.
Bink, by the way, we're in a radio studio. Bink tried to use the cough button.
And he turned me off.
It was a chew issue. Sorry.
And he turned Chris's.
My bad.
His mic on and coughed right into the mic while Chris is getting cut off.
I'm like, what happened here?
That was a chew accident, and I had to think fast.
Chris continues.
Yeah, but
By the way, 23.
I just feel like Dalton Kincaid's value is much higher than 31. So if he's available at 31, it's similar to me like Karloftis and like Trent McDuffie from last year, where they fell from where you thought they were going to be picked way higher than what they were.
And here's my thing with tight ends in general. First off, we've addressed this enough, but I'm just going to mention it for anybody out there who's saying, why would you take a tight end? You still have Travis Kelce. You still already have four tight ends on the roster. Andy Reid is like a master chef. You give him ingredients. Doesn't matter what you give him. He is going to prepare a delicious meal. He doesn't care if it says T-E in front of your name instead of wide receiver. You're a pass catcher. You're a weapon. He's going to find a way to utilize you. With tight ends compared to wide receivers, though, like you mentioned, there's a more pressing need immediately for pass rushers than there are tight ends, which is absolutely right. Tight ends also take a while to develop. Rarely do we get the Kyle Pitts of the world who hit the ground running.
I feel pass rushers is the same way.
I agree.
Karloftis started coming on towards the end,
right?
But immediately not there. So you're looking at two positions. You say, can they immediately help us?
But here's what I go back to with tight ends. We know the Chiefs are going to need to add weapons offensively. We've talked ad nauseum about this wide receiver class. And how none of us are all that impressed. Nobody is. Nobody. You won't find anybody who's just screaming about this wide receiver class and how much talent there is. Even if you think it's deeper in the middle rounds, if you could just tell me, I'm taking a chance on a guy at 31 who I thought was going to get taken at 15, who might end up being the best pass catcher in this entire draft class. That, to me, is the risk worth taking if I'm Brett Veach, if I'm Andy Reid.
And the Chiefs always draft a lot of times the first round for the year ahead.
Yeah.
They look forward toward the next year.
And I would say the same thing if any of those premier edge rushers fell. If you told me that Miles Murphy or Lucas Van Ness fell to me at the end of round one, I'd be taking those guys over Dalton Kincaid. But those guys didn't, and Felix and UDK Uzomah, I like him as a prospect, but he's maybe the top of that next tier of guys. He's not in the same class as a Miles Murphy, as a Lucas Van Ness.
I feel like you're getting a second rounder at pick 31 anyway.
Well,
you really are. You're just getting ahead of the curve. You're getting ahead of everybody because everybody resets things on the second round. It's kind of fun. That's what second and third round are so fun, because the board kind of resets. All right, who's the best available?
Right,
who's picking where? And it becomes the first round again, essentially.
I think in our situation, though, Kincaid is a true first rounder.
Yes.
I think Felix is the guy where you start saying second round guy.
Right.
I think that's where you're like, okay, if he's very likely going in the second round. Dalton's a guy that's like first round.
Oh, you did it.
I did it, guys.
I was so thinking you're going edge in this situation.
I came in here today saying I'm going edge in the first round. And then Dalton Kincaid showed up after I pressed start.
You went edge
at
the offensive line.
Dude, I was so ready. I prepared this whole mock draft to go edge.
That's how the board falls to you sometimes.
It is,
you
got
to be flexible. And here's you got to be totally flexible with the board, and you go tight end the situation. I like it because the Chiefs were on a 12 and 13 personnel. 12 personnel with the two tight ends, 13 personnel with the three tight ends. They like that extra tight end.
Second most two tight end sets in the NFL last year. Most three tight end sets in the NFL.
And you know
what?
They're going to use it a lot more this year because you've given an experienced right tackle.
And the thing that works for them is the fact that they figured out how to use Travis Kelce as a wide receiver, lining him up as a wide receiver, motioning him as a wide receiver. And so you think naturally you can put this guy in and he's got the ability to go out there and play on the outside just like Kelce does, and you can utilize that to your advantage.
By the way, if you haven't watched Dalton Kincaid at Utah, that's who he is.
He's a wide receiver.
You move him around, he's great with the ball in his hands after the catch. He is tall, long, rangy athlete. Like, He is everything the Chiefs want in their tight ends.
Profile of what you want exactly, right?
Like you,
right.
Like
athletic profile to do everything that Andy Reid would ask a mm-hmm. tight end to do.
Yeah, like Big, you talk all the time. You like those big wide receivers like that. Like that's like the way that you like those big wide receivers. That's what the Chiefs like to do with their tight ends.
Total red zone threat.
And so Kincaid fits into that.
And I'm not saying that every wide receiver that you have needs to be like a prototypical X.
Right.
But all the wide receivers that you're drafting Dalton Kincaid over are 5'8", 175 pounds. Go get a big tight end then.
He gives you the size, but not only that, don't forget, you know, Kelce, we've taken for granted how healthy he's been.
Yeah.
And he shows up every game. Now, remember that Cincinnati game this last year? He was iffy if he was going to play or not.
Back spasms.
That's why having a guy like, you know, and then the older you get, things more happen on the football field. You want that other guy to come in because I don't think you trust in Blake Bell to be that guy. I don't think you trust in Jody Fortson to be that guy. Noah Gray has been serviceable. He's been good.
Yeah.
But he's not Dalton Kincaid.
Would you guys have went Kincaid as well?
Yes.
In that situation, absolutely.
Okay, 100%. So we are in unison here. Okay, yeah, I was making sure I didn't rock the boat.
That's a situation where like you're getting someone way below what their value actually is.
Okay.
So you're getting a steal.
Okay, so Chris, you had the first pick last week. So I believe, Bink, you are going to be second up pick, second pick. So what are you thinking here? What position are you targeting?
At this point, I'm thinking best tight end. Well, I'm not going to go tight end anymore because you went tight end
in round one. I just got the best.
You know what? I load up. He's like Tucker Kraft, second round. I'm not going.
I would have thrown a flag if you would have.
I'm not going to do tight end because you picked one of
the first. We'd have had to vote you off the island.
That's where I was looking in the second round. When you were talking about edge, I was looking at tight end wide receiver.
My world got rocked. Your world's getting rocked. So now you got to be flexible as well.
Let's go wide receiver. What do we got here? We got Dell and Rashee Rice still on the board, and I like him. I like Cedric Tillman as well. And again, this is basically getting to the third round. Is Marvin Mims is still there? What about Mingo?
I don't see Marvin Mims. I don't see
Mims is right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was looking for the Oklahoma logo.
Okay. Now, what about
Mingo is way down.
You know
there.
What? I'm going Mingo because they have him underdrafted here. Some people,
okay.
I've even seen him mocked in the first round on a few rare mocks, but a lot of second rounds third round. So I'm taking.
So I'm not
Mingo.
Okay. I'm not throwing a flag, but I am going to give you a sideline warning. Okay, I'm coming over and saying like, hey, watch it, or we're going to flag you next time. I think you can wait on Mingo. I think Mingo's going to be there in the third round.
See, you think that, and maybe he is, but I don't think he will be.
We just got ourselves a pass catcher. In round one, are you not at all interested to see
who I came into this draft loaded up on pass catchers? Like Mingo. Mingo, what profiled out of the last, 3,000 wide receivers, he finished 44th or 300 wide receivers and 44th in his athletic profile. He's big. He's 2 inches taller than A.J. Brown. He's faster than A.J. Brown. I think getting Mingo in this situation is a steal. I don't think he'd be available. Now, this mock, how we have it, he's down there so low.
He's so low, Bink.
They got him lower than Tank Dell.
So I do not think Mingo's going to be there at 63.
I don't think he will be either.
I don't think he's going to be there at 63. He's regularly being mocked right now somewhere in the mid-second, sometimes even high second. I'm not sure about high second, but I think for sure mid-second. So if the Chiefs wanted to get him, they'd probably have to trade up. Marvin Mims, on the other hand, I do think would be available at 63 if they wanted.
What do you think about the theory of going back-to-back pass catchers?
I don't have an issue with it. I agree with Bink that the Chiefs absolutely should load up on guys. I would take Mims over Mingo, though.
Here you go. He scored his physical athletic chart came out. At a 9.86 out of 10, this ranked 44th out of 3,011 wide receivers from 87 to 2023.
Okay, so this is what you kind of get into when you get to some of these later round wide receiver prospects, whether it is Trey Palmer, Jonathan Mingo, Xavier Hutchinson out of Iowa State. I feel like because the top of this wide receiver class is a bunch of little slot receivers that we're kind of gravitating towards these bigger, stronger athletic types, despite the fact that, you know, I've got a lot of tape that would suggest that Trey Palmer and Jonathan Mingo and some of these dudes are just like okay football players. They just happen to be way more athletic than the dudes who are getting drafted higher than them.
Well, Peter Schrager, Good Morning Football Love. I'm gonna give you this quote. This is from Jim Nagy. He's the director of the Senior Bowl. This guy knows talent. He says one hot name emerging right now is Jonathan Mingo. Wide receiver coaches have Mingo graded higher than many being mocked in round one. 220-pound men aren't supposed to move like that. Again, I think this could be a deal like a DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown that go in the second round. You're like, ooh, what the hell is he going to lay? I like Mingo a ton. That's quickly becoming my draft crush. I don't think he'd be there at 63. And if he is there, that's where I'm going. I know you guys probably aren't going that direction with going two pass catchers right away like this.
I already said I'm cool with the pass catcher.
I'm trying to talk you out of it. I wanted you to go edge.
Well, give me the best edge then.
No. It's fine. I want you to go with your
gut, leaning towards
but I
Mingo.
Also want you to do what I... You know, this is my problem. I want to control the whole thing. I can go do my own mock if I want to do that. This is a group exercise.
We're going two pass catchers, boom, boom, Mahomes, here's your weapons.
That's true. You know, and that's the plus side that I can get on board with.
See, he's your most valuable asset, Patrick Mahomes. You really haven't spent much of your draft.
Yeah,
15 of the last 20 top four picks for the Chiefs have been defense.
6'2", 220. He's probably the most physically impressive receiver in this class. I would say this. He is physically impressive in like the same way that Quentin Johnston is, but he uses his physical abilities more than Quentin. Like, that's why I believe Quentin Johnston is falling in a lot of mock drafts right now, is because you see this big physical guy who would profile as an eventual X receiver in the NFL. Problem is, you go back and watch the way he played at TCU, he didn't use his physicality. A lot of his production came after the catch. And he was in an offense that was a little bit more friendly than the one that Jonathan Mingo was in. And if you profile him, I know he's not quite built the same way, but like DK Metcalf, similar situation where you go back and look at DK Metcalf's college production, wasn't there. Like AJ Brown was the one getting all the yards and catches, and then all of a sudden got to a right system that found a way to get him involved and look at him.
And Lane Zierlein, NFL.com, had comped him to Juju. Bolden for Jonathan Mingo. I really like Mingo. I'm shocked he's still here. I think this is what you call a borderline sleeper. When guys, they're in the know, like a Jim Nagy that sees him, evaluates him, Senior Bowl, talks about Mingo. Some people, I've seen mocks come out having him in the first round, early second round now. And of course, a lot of mocks would have him in the third round. You know, whatever.
I mean, Brock Purdy goes last in draft. I think the idea is that eventually he becomes like a number two. Like, I don't think you're drafting Jonathan Mingo with the intention that he's going to be your number one.
And that's the one holdup I have about Mingo, is I don't think he's going to be a number one.
But the Chiefs don't have that physicality at wide receiver without Sammy and Juju. They do not have that.
I don't think they care that much about that, as opposed to finding a guy with number one potential.
I will entertain Edge. Let me see just Edge, just for posterity.
I already locked in Mingo.
So we're in third round.
Are we good with Mingo?
Yeah, I mean, Derek Hall would have been the best edge rusher.
Oh, Derek Hall is still here.
But we took him last week, so you know what? Let's switch it up. So now we are two rounds in. We have taken two pass catchers, Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver.
You're
out of
strengthening
Ole Miss.
Your strongest point, which is your offense.
I agree. And I think Jonathan Mingo, if the Chiefs went that direction, would be a very popular pick. People would immediately get excited about him because you go and you turn on his tape the first time, you're going to say, he looks different than the rest of the receivers in this class.
6'2", 220, runs a 4.46.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so now, Chris, we are back to you, or I guess we are to you for the first time. What are you looking here?
Okay, so let's start out at defensive line, edge rusher, defensive interior.
Okay.
Okay, so edge rusher's kind of gotten picked apart.
Yes, there's your boy. Valami Fajoko?
Yeah, I think it's a little too high to take him in the third.
Just go with your gut, man. Don't go with the board. Go with the gut.
But you're the one who says to listen to
No, because like...
No, I mean, the Pro Football Focus is where they're ranking
right,
him.
But we can get him later. I don't feel like we need to take him now. And plus, like, to me, he's a supplemental piece that you add. He's not a guy that you're adding in with like, okay, we're going to develop him into an every down starter. I don't think Fajoko is an every down starter.
No.
Okay. So the guy I'm kind of thinking, Kobe Turner, who's a defensive tackle there, Wake Forest. I would like for the Chiefs to add some. A little bit more. He should be up higher.
He is. I was just scrolling down to look at the rest of the.
Yeah, like as far as defensive line goes, kind of been picked apart here. So I'm kind of thinking the Chiefs need to add something to just some more depth to their defensive line. Get a guy who I think could be a good interior pass rusher for them. I would have liked to have gone. If we were going to go edge rusher, I would have liked to have gone that in the second round here. Derek Hall was there at 63. Yep. Would have been a nice value there. Unfortunately, Once we start getting to the third round, we're going to start getting some ancillary guys. So I'm going to go with Kobe Turner here. I think Kobe Turner has what the Chiefs could really use there. He's got some size, 6'3", 290. And the thing that I think the Chiefs really need is they should probably invest in getting a guy that they could probably trust to be more of a pass rusher in that three technique on the interior, as opposed to getting guys who are going to be who are going to be like run stopping guys, like for instance Derek Nnadi, who they brought back.
Yeah,
Derek Nnadi's not much of a pass rusher, so I feel like they need to just add some depth rotationally on the inside. Because edge rusher really isn't looking too good here in the third round, I'm going to go with Kobe Turner.
Okay, Kobe Turner.
And keep in mind, there's always surprise. James Houston was a sixth round pick.
Right,
turns
right.
Into one of the better many teams. But he was because he was 6'1", and people were like, I don't like 6'1".
And here's the thing: is like it's not like there's a high bar for being a pass rusher on the interior.
Yeah,
if you're a 4 or 5 sack guy as a, like a three tech, that's pretty good. You'll take that. Like any team would take that from a three tech. So to me, I feel like that's where the value is there.
Yeah. I mean, guy, I think he kind of like a lot of the pass rushers in this class. I feel like there's a bunch of 24-year-old dudes. There's a bunch of guys like right in their fifth year.
He's not a long-term, going to pay him second contract type of guy.
And that's fine.
He's you get him for 4 years. He gets you some value. Maybe he becomes the next Derek Nnadi, where it's you get him for 4 years, and then after that, you bring him back on one-year deals. Like, this is Derek's second one-year deal that he's on with the Chiefs. So, like, that works out well, and then maybe he comes there, and he's a cheaper version, so you don't have to keep paying at that three-tech with Nnadi.
Yeah, and I think that's the goal for when you start getting into day three picks. It's great to project upside and say, okay, this guy's got all these physical tools. He's a freak. But if you're still around on day four, oftentimes there are reasons for that. Now, occasionally you can get lucky and get, you know, the Isaiah Pacheco, the Jalen Watsons, the Trey Smiths. But for the most part, you're saying, okay, if you can make a roster, if you're on this team in 2 years, then that's a successful day three pick. And especially when you're looking about the defensive line, knowing that, like, hey, how many every down starters do the Chiefs have on defensive line last year? One. Right? Everybody else was a part of a rotation.
Carl Loftus was initially. But towards the end, they started to cut down on his snaps, doing more of a rotation.
Yeah, okay, so now we're back to me here, round four, pick
who was the official pick?
22.
Kobe Turner.
You want Turner officially?
Yeah.
So I really want to go edge here. I don't love my options, but I'll tell you what. This is a popular pick that I've seen in a lot. Anytime somebody like shares a mock draft with me.
I think I know who you're taking.
Isaiah McGuire?
Yeah.
Out of Missouri?
Yeah, I thought that and I think this is a good spot to take him. I've seen McGuire. Some people tried to put McGuire third round to the Chiefs.
Seen that too.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I do not like taking a rotational edge rusher in the third. If you're taking a guy in the third, it's because you think he's like an athletic freak and you think you can develop him. Once you get to the third day, I think you're taking guys that are like, okay, if we can get some good snaps from him as a rotational player, that's going to work great for us. And if it turns into something better, great. But I don't think you should be putting your hopes in, okay, we're going to bring this guy in and we're going to hope that he becomes an every down edge rusher.
Well, tell me if this guy fits the Steve Spagnuolo mold. He is 6'4", about 270, long arms, 33 and 7/8 for anybody who pays attention to long arms. Mm-hmm. He's got really long arms. He's got good explosion, good speed, ran a 4.76 at that weight.
What was his bench reps?
His bench reps, I don't know if he benched. He didn't know. He didn't do the shuttle. So many, no okay. Shuttle, no bench.
No shuttle, no bench. Okay. So
I mean, you're talking about a three-year starter?
From a size standpoint, he fits what they like.
What age are we looking at?
He's 21. He'll be 21. He'll be 22 this summer.
Which is great because the mold is, like you said, these older guys. Why is that the pandemic? Gave him that extra year.
Right.
And a lot of guys didn't want to test the waters with the NFL combine. Yeah. Take that nil money. Stay in school. We're seeing more and more of that. Guys taking advantage of that, but obviously not here.
One of my favorite draft tools is Dane Brugler's Beast.
Oh, yeah. He put that out last week. It's really good.
It's very thorough, and I'm looking at it right now. His like final summary line on Isaiah McGuire is this. Overall, he needs further polishing to truly maximize his skill set, but he's a long, agile, and powerful enough to effectively leverage blockers and disrupt both the run and the pass. He's a scheme-diverse prospect and projects as a future NFL starter. Getting that in round four sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
And so there we go. So this is maybe how you combat if you don't go edge or you don't go defensive line early. You just load up on it on these middle rounds when you no longer have to really worry about pass catchers because we took tight end and wide receiver in each of the first two rounds. So Isaiah McGuire, edge rusher out of Missouri. He has been a very, very popular pick for mock drafts that I've seen that people have sent to us on Twitter. So we'll keep the trend alive. And just 12 picks later, Bink, you are back on the clock, sir.
I'm going offensive line. I want to go offensive line here. Not saying I will, but this is an area that I think we should hit in those mid rounds, and if Nick's there, it's not a very.
Wow, we had to talk you in him last time.
I know, we did, but the more and more you look at him and what he does, another guy they call a Senior Bowl standout.
Right.
Another guy that people are going, they're talking third round with Nick.
Yeah.
You know, and most players, Chad Ryder, a guy had him coming in the top four, I think, mm-hmm. at that point. But he's the guy that's listed at tackle, probably going to play guard. He can also do some center snaps. Not that you need it, but if you needed a pinch, remember, Nick Allegretti's coming back on a one-year contract. Nick's a guy that's going to be here for years. We went with him last week. I like staying consistent with some of the picks. I'm shocked he's here in this situation.
I'm surprised you're taking him. Because you were like, I don't know about two Old Dominion guys.
Yeah, because then he went and started doing
one Old Dominion guy.
Yeah, but it was not.
We're not
just
going back
the fact
to back
that
Old
we
Dominion.
Had, it's not just the fact that it was two. It was also the fact that
I value
like,
what Jim Nagy
you
says.
Were like, I don't know about this guy, but yeah. No, I agree with you. I do think this is a good pick.
So, do you guys think that you're drafting him to be just like a rotational piece? Are you drafting him to compete for right tackle?
I would have him start out competing for right tackle. If he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. But if you look at his size, he's got the size that the Chiefs like for offensive tackle.
6'6", 320.
Yeah.
Or move to the insides, what a lot of people think, too.
Exactly. Like, if it doesn't work out, you've got depth. I mean, we know Tooney's not going to be here forever, so you could put him and if it doesn't work out with Kennard, put them in competition for that left guard spot. But I would absolutely start out by trying to see if he can play right tackle.
And like we said last week, fits Andy Reid's mold. Lineman can play all over the line. Literally, he can play like all over the line.
Yeah, and he's got the size, the length they like. So to me, he's a great fit for them.
Okay, so now just to quick recap, we have went tight end, wide receiver, defensive interior, edge rusher, offensive tackle. So we have went through five picks. We have made five different positions our selection, but now we are into round five because the Chiefs have that second, fourth round pick. So now we are back to you, Chris. Round five, most of the pressing needs have been addressed. So what are you thinking here?
Okay, so first I want to check out running back. I want to get a look at that.
It seems to be kind of like the good time to maybe start checking in on
third
running backs.
Third day is always the time to check out running back for sure. So one of the guys, when we did this mock draft first time, 1.0, guy that you took in the at the very end, ended up being a very sneaky good pick. We had Thor Nystrom on last week when we did the Thursday show, and he said his day three steal was Evan Hull out of Northwestern.
Good pass catching running back.
Yeah, he said that guy was a steal at that position. What is it? What does it say his value is as far as like ADP?
Well, PFF has him ranked 198th. His average draft position is at 202.
Okay.
And so, we are at, a reminder, we are at pick 166 for the Chiefs.
So,
See, this is kind of the part of the draft where I don't pay as much attention to the draft rankings.
Okay, so
I'm a little bit surprised he's still there, just like Nick Sellerie.
Me too.
Who's gone on 15 top 30 visits, by the way, Nick has.
Me too. I'm a little bit surprised here.
But the pass catcher galore, he had 55 catches last year.
Yeah.
And just for anybody wondering.
And we took him last time, too.
No, we didn't.
Was that the first time?
The first mock draft.
When we talk about top 30 visits, for anybody who's wondering, that is not in any way, shape, or form guarantee that you're going to be a first-round pick or that you're even a first-round prospect. General rule of thumb, if you're a top 100 player, you're going to get some top 30 visits.
Well, they had a question about you. The team had a question about you. They bring you in. It's kind of a smoke screen as well. But the Chiefs have used it a lot for late round picks. Hey, let's get to know this guy better.
Yep.
Even though Quentin Johnson did visit the Chiefs wide receiver.
He did. I don't think they drafted him.
Are you still interested in running backs based off what we're looking at here, Chris?
I'm going to go with Evan Hull. I'm going to go with Evan Hull here.
He's a riser.
To me, I like the ability to catch passes. I think he's got the athleticism they like. I think he's got the skill set they like. And so I'll say this. If this were a later pick, I would go Hunter Lucky here, but I'll take Evan Hull here.
I really hope he's on the board later.
Take him into six. You should have a six-round pick, right?
No fullbacks on the roster.
Take him into six.
Okay, so I could go a lot of different ways here. Back to me now. We are at the beginning of round six. Is this a comp pick? Pick 178?
I think this is their actual pick. The other one, I think, might be a comp pick.
Because it's the first pick of round
six. Oh, is it? Six. Yeah, actually, it might be a comp pick then.
It's with Chicago. It says it right here. Okay, so this is the Ryan Poles. Thank you, Chicago, for hiring Ryan Poles. And let's see who Ryan Poles is going to bring us. I'm going to go back to wide receiver. Just want to kind of wet my beak a little bit here.
So there's a guy.
There's a guy, but I'm not... you might be thinking of Bryce Ford Wheaton.
Yes.
But I'm not really that sold on wide receiver. I just wanted to kind of look to see if there was anybody I loved that fell, and there wasn't. So I'm going to keep looking, and I'm going to go back to the edge rusher well. And there's a name I kind of been gravitating towards, and that would be Yasir Abdullah from Louisville. And he's someone, again, I'm a little bit surprised to see here. So there's I keep getting Yasir Abdullah and Yaya Diaby.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was the first draft we had.
Yes.
Yaya Diaby.
You took Yaya Diaby, yeah.
Yasir is a little bit farther down the list, but I just don't think you can go wrong right now knowing what we know about the Chiefs' defensive line rotation of adding another guy. Now, the question is fit. Like, is he going to be thought of as more of a linebacker, or is he going to be thought of as, can he put his hand in the dirt and be a rotational piece on the defensive line?
I don't think he is an edge rusher in Spags' defense. You look at his size, he's 6'1".
Sorry.
6'1", 237, 32 3/8 inch arms. The Chiefs generally like their edge rushers to be 6'3", between 260 and 279, and have 33-inch arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't fit any of those criteria. And if the Chiefs ran a 3-4, if they preferred the smaller speed rush guys, I would totally be... I mean, he's a lot smaller than Lonnie Phelps is. And Lonnie Phelps, who we took last week, is a little bit small for what Spags likes at the edge rush. So I don't know if he fits exactly what they like. If you want to take Yaya Diaby, which I don't know if he's available.
He's not
there. If Yaya Diaby were there, I could totally understand you taking him there because he fits their size profile. But I don't think Yasir Abdullah fits what they like.
Do I just go back to the well with Viliami Fajoko?
Yeah, I like Fajoko. I like Viliami Fajoko. So
you took him last week.
I did take him last week. I wanted to take him the first time. This is a guy I've very much been in the well for as far as him being a rotational pass rusher inside, outside, probably a little bit more inside. I think he fits exactly what the Chiefs like. And I think because of his versatility, he's the kind of guy that the Chiefs, like Spags, would love to have him on his D-line.
6'3", 276. He's a little bit older, but again, we're talking about a four-year starter for San Jose State. He redshirted his first year, and then for four straight years, you're talking about a guy who started, and he's been a producer for each of the last three.
And he's got pass rush moves. He's not just a guy that just pushes the tackle into the quarterback.
Natural talent.
He's got spin move. He can rip. He can do all the moves there. The one thing you question, though, is if maybe he'd be better playing on the inside because of his size.
That's fine. Yeah. Spags likes guys who can move around.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that versatility is never... Because that's the fine line you have to kind of walk, especially on the defensive line.
Right.
What's the difference between versatility and being a tweener? What's the difference between I can do everything versus actually turns out like Isaiah Simmons is a perfect example of this. There's a reason why Isaiah Simmons went top 10 to Arizona, because they said, man, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? He can do it all. And then you get to the league and you go, oh, actually, he can't do either.
No, he's probably just a fast linebacker.
That was the Honey Badger model. Everybody wanted the Honey Badger.
Right, right.
They wanted guys that could do everything. Because remember that one year in Houston, he like lined up every single position on defense. Even on D-line, they put the Honey Badger just for like trick plays.
Yeah, the difference,
defensively, but
the
still.
The difference, though, with him, though, is that he had the size to play in the defensive backfield, and Isaiah doesn't. He's too big.
Okay, so now we are to the last pick of round six. I think we've got, two picks left? And three picks left at pick 217, Bink.
All right, you know what the mission is, Bink. You know who you got to get here, right? Because he's not going to be available to us with the other two seventh-round picks.
Hunter Lupke?
Yes. You know.
You know what? Wow. That might have been my favorite pick. I think you made it, Chris.
I did.
You know what? Really,
a guy that was a national title 2 years ago, national title MVP.
Hey, let's piss Cody off here and take
the guy who can run, tight end. They do not have a fullback. They do not have a fullback on the roster.
If you want to piss people off, then take Patrick Mahomes' backup right now.
Oh,
take Dorian Thompson Robinson.
I'm not taking a quarterback at this point.
I hope you guys are doing the seventh round. You watched the Haener show out at Fresno this past year?
Stetson's still sitting right there, too, for me.
Let him sit. So do you guys think there's a chance that the Chiefs would go into this year without a fullback on the roster?
They always have one. You know,
Sherman
and Burton. But here's the guy. He plays a lot of special teams. This guy is a special teams guy. People love him. Mel Kiper loves this guy. A lot of people like Hunter Lupke because of what he could do. And again, MVP 2 years ago.
Right.
Can run the football extremely well.
He ran for over 600 yards this year for North Dakota State.
For a bigger guy that can play.
Yeah.
He can be in that tight end role. Say he didn't grab a tight end. You want a fourth guy that could come in and play H-back, tight end, whatever you want. He's the type of guy that could do it. So I really, really like Hunter Lupke.
He draws a lot of comparisons to Kyle Juszczyk for the 49ers. I just think that the Chiefs have been running a lot more bigger sets, a lot more two, three tight end sets, and I could totally see the Chiefs in short yardage situations using him as a pass catcher, as a runner. So many different options here. The problem is they bring in these tight ends, and these guys are more blocking tight ends, and the Chiefs kind of need that Swiss Army knife
at that position.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time now. You turn my mic off. But the Chiefs kind of like that Swiss Army knife there at that position. They kind of need guys who are versatile, and this guy can do everything you need him to do.
And the other thing, Andy Reid will find something.
Yeah, he'll find something for him to do. I can totally see him having two tight ends and having Lukey out there as like a third tight end and then running a set based off of that. So I just think there's a lot of things you can do here.
Yeah, we went to Lukey actually last year. He had that shoulder problem, would be probably drafted a lot higher, was not able to compete in the combine. But Hunter Lupke's a guy I've wanted for the longest time. Ever since the first time, again, as Chris said, 631 yards rushing this year. The guy can do it. He got in the end zone nine times.
Well, we're going to give you what you want then. You're going to get the guy you've been
longing
for.
Because I think they want a fullback, and I think they think they can get one in the draft.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get one in free agency and let Burton go. So,
All right, Chris, we got two picks left. They're back-to-back picks at 249 and 250. What are you going with here at 249?
Okay, let's look at receiver.
Okay. I don't know if you're going to be in love with your options.
It is not great.
Well, it's, it's pick 249.
Yeah, it is.
These guys have been passed over quite a few times.
Okay, let's go back to the regular board.
Wow, grab a quarterback,
just like
Chris.
That.
Yeah.
Grab a quarterback,
actually,
Chris.
Look at quarterback. Yeah, let's look at quarterback. That's actually a good idea.
It's a great idea, actually.
Well, there's two options left. Literally.
Okay, let's take Max.
Let's get away from that. I'm not taking
him. 6'2", runs a 4.52.
I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him.
Second the Heisman. Nick? Okay.
No.
What kind of points would you put Max?
Second.
So when he finished.
Is Cameron Young still available?
Oh, some Cam Young.
Yeah. Defensive interior, I think.
Who was it that mocked him? Was it Ryder in his four?
No, I can't get you Cameron Young. Could I interest you in Christian Young, the safety out of Arizona?
No. I don't think they need it.
Wasn't it Ryder had Cam Young in the fourth round, wasn't it?
Did he?
I think so. He went Cam Young on one of them. I'm one of his mocks. I don't remember if it's him or not, but I've seen him early on.
I would love him on the third day. This is tough. All right, who is I can't see those names. Who are those guys at the top of the board here?
That would be Marte Mapu. He's a safety from Sacramento State. I haven't quite grinded the film on him.
Yeah.
So I can't weigh in on his skill set quite yet.
Take Lonnie Phelps.
Are you getting Lonnie Phelps? No, let's go Lonnie one Phelps pick. Or it's just one pick different from the last.
Let's go Lonnie.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Let's just plug him in.
Lonnie's got tremendous talent.
Yeah, as I'm saying, just from a physical standpoint, I still kind of question the size from the edge there and his fit with what they like. But the physical aspect of what he brings to this team, I think, is something that Spags might be able to take advantage of.
And you can just copy and paste your excerpt next from last week.
Right.
Use a different picture. Though.
I literally probably will copy and paste what I put on.
He ran a 4.55. Smarter too. Yeah. So, what special teams do you want him on?
Great 40 time and everything. If he's just a special teamer, that works for me. At this point now,
we've got a couple though with Lupke and then him. Man.
Exactly.
We're building
up
that special teams.
Yeah, we're gonna have the best special
from last year.
Special teams last year was a little bit tough.
Hey, it's one third of the game, man.
Right.
Well said. Okay. So last pick. This is our last pick, guys. I'm looking at wide receivers and. Specifically, I am focusing in on Trey Tucker, wide receiver out of Cincinnati, who, you know, is going to play second fiddle to Tyler Scott here in this draft class and wasn't a super producer, but I think he's got special teams, punt return, kick return, gadget guy written all over him. You know, you look back at what we did at the top of this draft class, going Dalton Kincaid and Jonathan Mingo. Right, those are more the big physical wide receiver types. I wouldn't be shocked if you looked in the later rounds of this draft and the Chiefs were saying, okay, who's going to be McColl, a guy who we can kind of use underneath? Because I do think they have, regardless of what you think, and you may disagree, they have higher hopes for Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney than what McColl Hardman's role was reduced
100%
to.
100% they do.
Over the last 2 years. So if you told me in the last, you know, on day three, you could be going after someone to use as a special teamer, as a kick returner, as a punt returner, as someone who can use underneath and get in space and set up screens for, wouldn't shock me. This draft class is full of those guys. Trey Tucker in the seventh round, I think you could do a heck of a lot worse.
And he's a 4-4 guy as well, team captain at Cincinnati. So you get that leadership quotient then?
This is
250, you kidding me? Yeah.
This is the kind of, I mean, basically what you're doing is this is a gadget type player. He could be.
Fine,
he's
right?
Not going to be a. I don't think he's ever going to be a starter for them. But I think in the seventh round to get a guy like him with his athleticism and you can kind of develop some plays for him. Just script some plays to him. I think he can do some damage. So I like it.
Yeah, and when you're drafting in round seven, that's what you're looking for.
Oh, you got an F for that Mingo pick.
Okay, so our draft is now complete.
I figured I would.
Whew. Our draft is now complete. I got an A for Dalton Kincaid. Bink, you got an F.
PFF does not like your
Jim
pick.
Jim Nagy would have loved this. Peter Schrager would have loved this.
Not like
so
your
let's,
pick
just, let's just go really quickly recap. For no specific reason, Dalton Kincaid got an A. Isaiah McGuire got an A+. Viami Fajoco got an A+. And Trey
week.
Tucker got a B+. So I mean, looking at my picks.
First off, Fajoco was my guy.
Well,
you took for my guy.
Evan Hole got a C.
Hey, we're a team. We're a team.
Evan Hole, big F.
That's okay, though. All in all, PFF thinks we got an A-. You think you could do better?
Petr Mahomes got a lot of C-minuses when he was taken, so yeah. We're good.
I'm just, looking back on this, I can't emphasize enough how pleasantly surprised I would be if Dalton Kincaid is sitting there at pick 31.
Yeah, I think that right there is like getting plus value at 31 you wouldn't get elsewhere.
Let me ask you guys, this is purely just a...
Stag a picture that before you let it go.
I'm not going to delete it, so we can do it after. But I want to ask purely entertainment question because it's not realistic. But if you look at this draft class as a whole, let's say the Chiefs had the firepower and the want to trade up and just go and get their guy. Think Washington trading up for Robert Griffin III. Think Atlanta trading up for Julio Jones. If there was one guy who the Chiefs could just throw every single resource they had at going to get to add to this team, who do you think it would be?
It's kind of tough because, like, I don't know if there's a guy you'd go out of your way to sell everything to go get.
Like Will Anderson or something. That'd be.
So I was thinking.
I don't know if I would do that for Will.
I was thinking Tyree Wilson.
Yeah, I was actually about to say that.
I was looking
that Texas Tech thing going home.
Well, I was just
not even just that, but the size. Dude.
I was looking at the edge rushers, and I was like, God, that guy is impressive.
Yeah. Do you like him better than Will Anderson though?
For the Chiefs,
I like his potential better than Will Anderson's potential. I said this before. I think he could be the next Myles Garrett. Just from a size standpoint, he could.
It looks like I've heard him comp to Jadeveon Clowney, which you can use as a slight, but like Jadeveon Clowney as a prospect was
amazing.
Insane.
He was crazy coming out of South Carolina. Everyone thought that guy was going to be the next best pass rusher in the league.
He's 6'5", 270. He's like, I think his length is
like almost 36 inches, arm length. Like, just crazy. Like, you know what Spags could do with Tyree? You know how much fun he would have with Tyree on the edge there? Like, every down edge rusher if he had him there. So, like, that's the one guy I could see if they were to be willing to just trade everything to go get. That would be the guy. But, like, after that, I don't really think there's anybody in the first round there. I think second, third round is where they're going to make their money. Yeah,
unless you told me that, you know, they're just in love with one of these tackles. Like, they just love Paris Johnson or Peter Skoronski or Darnell Wright, whoever that is, right? I'm not the person to tell you which one to love. But
like Greg Jones, I liked early on a lot.
He's kind of fallen out of favor a little bit.
Yeah, he's seen him 19th.
I've seen some mocks that have had Darnell Wright in the top 10. I've
seen a lot of Anton Harrison to the Chiefs in latest mocks, too.
I want to talk a little bit about this edge rusher because a lot of, I would say, of the mocks that I've looked at, and I'm a slave to the mock drafts, so a lot of probably the most popular player that I've seen routinely picked to the Chiefs is Will McDonald IV at pick 31. And I want to bring this up because this guy's long arms, he's explosive, he was productive at Iowa State, but he does not look like a Steve Spagnuolo defensive end. He looks like a 3-4 outside linebacker. So is there something I'm missing here, or is this just maybe a disconnect between what's going to be available and maybe what people understand Steve Spagnuolo is going to want as a pass rusher?
240 pounds has me concerned.
But literally, would Steve Spagnuolo ever target a player like that?
I don't think so.
Not in the first round, no. Like, if Will McDonald were a third-day guy, maybe. He might think about it there as a rotational guy. And if he had I don't think he has the frame to put on the pounds that Spags would want from him as an edge rusher. So I do not think, because he's more of a speed guy, I do not think he's the kind of guy for the
Chiefs.
Because
even Frank Clark, who is undersized, quote unquote, I think last year, remember, he had cut out meat, he had cut out alcohol.
Yeah, he got lost down to like 255, I think. Yeah,
but that's the lowest he had ever been in his career.
Yeah.
So his lowest weight would still be about 15 to 20 pounds heavier than what Will McDonald's coming into the league at age 24. Mm-hmm. Right? This is not a 21-year-old pup. This is a guy spent 5 years in school.
Again, that's a guy taking advantage of the pandemic here coming back. But I think he's way too undersized. I mean, you start looking at your outside linebacker.
Would you say the same thing about B.J. Ojulari?
Yes.
Same thing.
Yeah, I think Ojulari is too undersized, too. And I don't think he's got the frame to put on a bunch of weight either. Like, I think he's probably maxed out.
Because I think those guys could be really good players in a different scheme for a different team.
The Chiefs also want to stop runs. I mean, they run a big guy to set the edge.
Yeah.
They want to get better at stopping the run. And they got better exponentially at stopping the run last year.
Yeah, they prefer. And I think the biggest reason why they like the size is because they move guys around so much. Because they will move Chris Jones to the edge. That's the reason why Karloftis played a lot on the inside. It wasn't like a regular thing, but like there were times where he played 3-tech. There were times he played 0-tech. They moved him around a lot because he had the size that they like. And Frank played on the inside some. Mike Dana played a lot on the inside. Carlos did as well. They like those guys that have some size to them. And so you get a guy like Will, and it's like, the only thing he can do is rush off the edge. He can't play on the inside because he's going to get pushed around by those guards and those centers. And if he gets a double, it's over.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I do think what happens here is in this mock draft world, right? People aren't hyper focused on what the Chiefs' needs are and what kind of players the Chiefs. They just look at Chiefs need pass rusher. This is the best pass rusher available. Will McDonald, Kansas City Chiefs. But I think, like, realistically, I don't even imagine he's someone that they're looking at. I don't even imagine that he's someone that they're targeting. So I just want people to, I want to try and break this down because for the average Joe, myself included, like I don't understand the nuances of what types of players the Chiefs want on the defensive line and things like that. But it's those little things to look out for to just say like, yeah, this guy might be a great player. He just won't be a great player in Kansas City.
Right. The thing we got to understand is like teams have their certain types of players. And just because a certain you think a certain player is going to be good, doesn't mean they're going to work for your system.
Yeah, and they'll pull some guys right off the board.
Exactly. So I would not be shocked if McDonald wasn't on their board at all. Do not draft at all.
Same thing with B.J. Ojulari, which is, right. I think, an interesting spot for the Chiefs to be in. Because if you look at these mock drafts, those are the types of players that are commonly available. So it's like, okay, well, B.J. Ojulari doesn't fit. Will McDonald doesn't fit. Do you take a leap to a guy like Keon White, who you may have a second-round grade on? Or same thing with Felix Anudike.
I think the inexperience scares him a little bit.
Well, same thing with production. About like a guy like FAU, even if you love him, right? It doesn't really matter for the sake of this argument. Even if you love him, if the Chiefs have a second-round grade on them, do you say, okay, he's the next best guy that we like at this position, but we feel like 31's a little early to be taking a guy we have a second-round grade on? That is all of a sudden when you pivot and say, okay, let's change up the thought here. Let's change up the strategy. We didn't think we were going to go this way, but this is the way the board has fallen, so now we have to adjust.
Unless you sit there at 31 and you see somebody that fit a real need for a team, and you say, can I move back to 37 or 36? And this is where you can move back, but also, again, you're kind of ahead of everybody the next day. So you're picking the last picks. Okay, who's the best there? And instead of waiting until Friday, Susan, and grab the best player, the Chiefs have the opportunity to go ahead and get them at 31.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, it was Todd McShay.
Breaking news.
It was Todd McShay that picked Mingo to the Chiefs at 63.
Okay.
McShay.
That's right.
I think Mr. Mock had Mingo in the second to the Chiefs.
He's just looking for any confirmation bias.
I couldn't remember. I knew there was some big mocker
McShay. Yeah, well, Kuiper had them taking Marvin Mims at 63. So.
Well, and I think he had Felix and UDK Uzama.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to go ahead and get out in front of it now. People are going to see Dalton Kincaid at 31, and it's going to say, there's no way Dalton Kincaid will be there at 31. Hey.
I like the pick.
We ran the simulation, man.
He was there. I mean, and I've said this almost every time we've done mocks, we did not think Karlaftis was going to be there at 30.
Nobody had the Chiefs picking Karlaftis.
No. Nobody thought the only person was that guy from CBS. I can't remember his name. He's the only person I saw that had Karlaftis at 30.
So don't tell me. I don't want to hear if you want to mock Miles Murphy to the Chiefs at 31, go for it.
I've seen him on there. And I'll tell you this: if he was there at that position, and like let's say no Kincaid, but he's the best available player there, I'd probably say the Chiefs should draft him.
Well, easy guys
to sprint. Remember Mahomes to get that pick.
Remember Mahomes when the first mocks came out? He was at the end of the first round. And then boom, he's all of a sudden.
A lot of people said he was a second, third round grade. Yeah. So like if he's there available, you take him.
Another day, another mock. This was fun, guys. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Here, Bink and Chris on Thursday, this coming Thursday, that's going to be April 20th, for Character Concerns, the show on 610 Sports Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. And you will be joined by special guest
Matt McMullen,
Chiefs reporter. We will be back with another episode of the Character Concerns podcast next Tuesday. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.